Welcome to Go To Gal, episode number 125. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and I'm super excited today to share our guest with you. Our amazing guest today is Lauren Gill. Lauren is a publicist and brand strategist, the owner of a company called Power Publicity, and I wanted to bring her on because I know some of you listening, specifically some of our white audience members, have been wanting to use their voice, use their platforms to show support for the Black Lives Matter movement, but have been frozen in inaction, afraid of saying the wrong thing, not sure how to put their heart into words, and just not sure what to do, so not saying anything. So if that's you, if you want to contribute to this conversation, if you want to make a difference, but you're not exactly sure how to show up as a person or a brand, you are exactly who we had in mind when we had this conversation. So in this conversation today, one, of course, we talk about Lauren and her journey and how she's pivoting now, which I actually think may inspire some of you who are in a similar place. We also go into, yes, where brands go wrong with addressing the Black Lives Matter movement, how you can go beyond just following trends and actually take action, the key to avoiding looking performative, quote unquote, and actually making a change. And then we also talk about why it's important to show your commitment to the Black community and what the zinger here, what to do if and when you do say something wrong and why your response matters. We also get some really good publicity advice from Lauren at the end, so make sure to listen for that too. All right, if you do not know who Lauren is, let me officially introduce you. Lauren Gill is a publicist, brand strategist, and entrepreneur with a creative mind to bring ideas to life. Now, Lauren first stumbled upon her love for PR as a teenager while watching Beyoncé's publicist interact with her on the MTV show Diary. Yes, we totally talk about this. Over the course of her career, Lauren has worked with top brands and events such as Sony Music Entertainment, University of Maryland, the Hip Hop Film Festival, American Black Film Festival, and more. Lauren started her company, Power Publicity, back in 2013. Since its inception, Power Publicity has implemented campaigns and produced events to help their clients build awareness, brand loyalty, and revenue. Her clients have been featured in BET, The Source Magazine, BuzzFeed, ABC, and more. And without further ado, here is Lauren. Lauren, I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to do this too.
Yes. All right. Before we dive into you and what you are up to now, take us back to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
So this is an interesting question because when I think about it, like it's hard for me to say like, okay, yeah, I was the girl for like cooking, or I was the girl for gardening, or I was the girl who did this. I think one of my biggest standout qualities growing up was that kind of I was more of a leader. So I was the girl who always had to be the teacher for playing school. I was the girl who always had to make up all of the dance routines that we was mimicking music videos because I'm obsessed with entertainment. I was the girl who was always trying to corral people and show them what we're going to do and how and plan stuff. So I guess you can kind of say I was always a bunch of a leader, even growing up. So it's no surprise where I ended up as an adult.
No surprise at all. And that is definitely something to be known for. As you're saying this, I'm like, this sounds a lot like my daughter too. She shows strong leadership potential. Oh, I love it. So, okay. So fast forward to today, what do you do and who do you help?
So I am a publicist and brand strategist. I mainly work in the entertainment and nonprofit sectors. And my whole goal with working with my clients is really to help them tell their stories so they can connect with people and grow their brand and revenues. And that comes in a few main ways. One of the main ways is publicity. So me pitching their stories to the media so they can get media coverage, whether it be TV, radio, internet, blogs, whatever you want to call it. as well as advising them sometimes on their content strategy, because that does go hand in hand when it comes to public relations, because that is another channel where you're communicating your message. And then another thing is just also helping them from a strategic consulting type view to say, okay, this is where we want to take the brand and your messaging moving forward.
Yes. Now, when you say entertainment or nonprofit, what do those, are these entertainers? Are these companies? Who do you typically work with? And I know that might be changing a little bit now too, so please fill us in on that, what that looks like.
Yeah, so mainly in entertainment is music and film. So like on the film side, I represent a film festival called the Hip Hop Film Festival, which features an array of films from people who are immersed in hip hop culture, and they tell their stories. They're coming up on their fifth year. And then on the nonprofit side, it's mainly a lot of the larger organizations. So for example, University of Maryland or something like that. So with them, it may, for that is more so about the issue, I guess, to sort of say. And I know I'm like, well, how in the world do you work in both? How do you get to work in both industries? It's just something where when it comes to this, is those are the places where I fit well in, and the skill set is pretty much the same. You just adapting it to the particular industry that you're working in.
So true. Now, are you expanding that a bit given our current economy or how?
The answer to that question is yes.
Because some of our listeners may want to hire you at the end of this conversation. So I want them to know who should be raising their hand. Yeah.
Most definitely. That's one of the things I really don't pigeonhole myself when it comes to this, but since we're in this interesting space, I definitely are pivoting to work with more small business owners to help them tell their stories, because at this crucial time, I know that is something that they are looking to do as well, particularly with all the stuff that's going on in the news.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think this applies to a lot of people listening too, where when you are an expert at something, you can probably help a lot of different kinds of groups, right? There's a lot of different types of clients that you can help. Now, niching helps you to really own that space and get known. But when things shift, a lot of times we shift our businesses, and sometimes you find a new market that could be even better that you never even found before, right? And yes, I can absolutely see how your skills with helping these industries could apply to the small business space, or do apply to the small business space, right? And they're sharing their story and they have a message and all of this, like it's all the same things. It's just a different group. So yes, makes perfect sense. All right. Now, does that change the offerings that you have? Or I guess we don't know yet.
Not necessarily. It really doesn't change the offerings. Now, there are some things that I am offering to help people to kind of introduce them. So I can work with you one-on-one to do a campaign, or I can show you how to do a campaign. And that's with, that's actually one of the things I'm working on right now. It's a program called Press Box, where I basically sit you down and show you how to write out your PR plan, how to find the proper media context, how to pitch people, how to follow up. I pretty much take you through the whole thing and kind of coach you to do it yourself, because sometimes I know folks don't always have the budget to hire a publicist, but they still want to be able to engage in publicity and implement a public relations program. And I pretty much show you how to do that.
Yes, yes. Okay, so how did you get into all of this?
I blame Beyonce. It's her fault. I know that.
Okay, now I really want to know. Okay, tell me more.
I know that sounds crazy, but so it's so interesting. As a child, I think I mentioned this previously, is that I was obsessed with entertainment. I loved listening to music. There was always music being played in my house. And then, of course, as I got older, one of my big cousins who used to babysit me, we used to watch music videos all the time. So that kind of started my obsession and love for that. And we know Beyonce's been around for like a good 20 plus years at this point. I know that's kind of hard to believe. But one day when I was watching this show on MTV called Diary, I feel like I might be dating myself a little bit, even though I'm not that old. But MTV used to have this show called Diary, where they would follow the celebrities around for a couple days, and kind of you get an inside look of their life. This was before social media really was social media, where people do that now, but They did this on a TV show. And I remember seeing her publicist work with her. Of course, 13-year-old me, because that's how old I was at the time, didn't really know what she was doing, but I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool. She gets to work with her directly. You know, she has a job and that type of stuff. Maybe I can do that job. So when I got to college, by that point, I already knew, like, okay, I am going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to own a business. You know, that was already settled. And then I kind of started learning more about public relations. And I was like, oh, okay, that's what the lady I saw Beyonce doing years ago. So isn't that kind of weird how all that stuff just kind of, you know, came full circle? So if I was able to fuse me wanting to be an entrepreneur, working in entertainment, and as well as being able to get to do all this work all up into one by starting my own firm. So that kind of is the backstory of how I ended up making a crazy decision to become a publicist, because I don't know any child that grows up and say, yeah, I want to be a publicist.
Oh, I love that though. And I do remember a diary. I don't remember that episode, but now I'm like, right. Oh gosh, I'd love to go back and watch those. I bet they were so good. Oh, but I think that just shows us how important it is to, one, to be sharing our own stories, right, and behind the scenes, but also to just be paying attention to opportunities like that, where we can see things that are maybe we wouldn't see in our regular everyday life, or that's not kind of shown to us through a traditional school system of what the opportunities are. Because when you're able to see it in action, you're like, ooh, I like how she's talking to people and interacting with this person. And, you know, maybe it's a glorified version of it, or maybe not. But I do think it opens up our eyes to opportunities. So I love that you had that moment and then all these years later, like, brought it to life. That's magical.
Yeah, and I think I definitely agree with that, as far as exposing young people, children, to different forms and different careers of what they can possibly do, especially for people like me, like who are part of the Black community, because sometimes they're not always exposed to those types of things and they may not know all of that. So one of the things is sometimes I will see is, like, particularly with people who want to work in the entertainment portion, is like they want to be in front of the camera, but there are so many other jobs behind the camera we can do and make good money. But if you're not exposed to that, you don't know. So that's where I believe mentoring and giving back to people is important. And that really goes for whatever industry you're in. I think that's a very important thing that we have to look into as far as with our children.
That's so true. Such a good reminder there. Oh, all right. Well, let's switch gears into your zone of genius and talking about publicity and this world that we're in right now. So what do you think, how do I want to say this? Oh, but what are you seeing companies doing well and doing not well with? We're kind of on, like, back to back. We're still very much, I shouldn't even say coming off. We are very much still in a pandemic, right? Oh, but these last few weeks, it's really more of, you know, at least it feels like in my feed where my focus is, right, is on this revolution and the Black Lives Matter movement. And really, it seems like many people in our country here in the U.S. coming together to stand for equality and against systematic racism, and bring all of these things into the forefront that maybe haven't been talked about, or that, you know, maybe as the mass population has not been educated on. And now we're talking about it, right? So these conversations are happening. Let's start there. What do you see companies and people, because obviously with GoToGal, we have a lot of personal brands here. Maybe there's a business name or not. But what are you seeing companies or people do wrong? Maybe let's start there.
Oh, dear God in heaven. There is quite a bit of things that I'm seeing people do wrong. One is pretty much not really speaking to the issues at hand. So over the past few weeks, we've seen a lot of companies come out with statements that basically say, you know, we stand in solidarity and with, you know, with the movement and the Black community and this, that, and the third. Some of them have been great. Some of them have not been so great. One of the biggest issues I've been seeing with, as far as company statements, is people are not naming the issue. And when I say naming the issue, yeah, is the issue is Black men and women being killed by the police, you know, or, and also using the term people of color. Because let's be clear, this is not a people of color issue. This is a issue that is primarily affecting the Black community. And you cannot be afraid to name the issue, because that is the crisis that you're responding to. You're responding to this crisis of these extrajudicial killings by the police of Black men and women. So you cannot be afraid to state that and say, you know, we're all in, like, stuff where, like, we're all in this together, or this, that, and the third, or we're listening, we're hearing, we're providing those opportunities. Like, that's all well and good, but it's not really speaking to the issue. So one of the things, if you are going to do a statement, outside of naming the issue and saying you stand in solidarity with the victims and the protesters and everybody that's working against it, you have to make a commitment to how you personally are going to address it. Like, how are you going to address it inside and outside your company? And you have to be specific in how you're doing it. Another thing that I saw was interesting was how, for some people, and I think I've seen this more so with influencers or personal brands, where some folks was like, oh, I don't have the words to say. I've been feeling so many different things. And they be having these long captions and descriptions and stuff that they're saying. But it you know, and I can respect if a person really don't have the words to say. What I don't respect, because this is one thing I did see, and like I said, this is more from an influencer side, is you promoting your products at the end of saying it. Because I did see some people do that, and I was just like, well, what was the point? What's the purpose of the post? What is the purpose of you coming out with this content if you're just going to continue to sell your stuff at the end of it? You know, that's kind of like, you know, you rolling up on somebody who was just experienced. I'm being very arbitrary with this example, but I like to kind of do this to help people get grasp the concept. That's like,
no,
you,
I appreciate
up,
it.
Like, that's like you rolling up on somebody who just found out that they lost their mom or somebody. They just lost somebody, and you come up on the street like, "Hey, you want to buy this candy?" No, I don't want to buy any candy. I'm crying. Leave me alone. Like, that's so. It's so.
It's so true.
It's so, yeah, awesome. Like, the number one thing that you have to really do is like read the room, and just try to make sure that when you're sending this stuff, it go inside of that. And another thing that you had mentioned as far as like, what are some stuff that people are doing wrong? So this was another thing that happened last Tuesday. It was called Blackout Tuesday. So the backstory to that was there were two black music executives, female music executives, that said, we want to keep the industry we work in accountable. And hold them to the fire, because this industry makes a lot of money off of black music, a lot of black creatives. And if they're going to continue to make billions of dollars a year off of black culture and black people, then they need to care about black issues. So they came up with this initiative called The Show Must Be Paused, where they was like, we're going to take a day out where we don't promote any of our stuff. We don't promote any music. We don't promote any of our entertainment, personal things. We're going to focus on how we can give back to the community, how we can amplify all the information that's being put out as far as what's going on with the protests and how to give back. And we are also going to figure out how we as an industry, as people, can, you know, happen. Somehow that kind of snowballed into this whole Blackout Tuesday, where the messaging was, we don't post on social media, we don't say anything. And it got outside the industry, where it caused a whole lot of confusion. And a lot of prominent activists, they pushed back and say, well, part of it is that these types of actions, one, you are pushing down all the information, you're suppressing the information that people need to know right now.
Yeah.
So like, say for example, a lot of people was using the Black Lives Matter hashtag, but that hashtag has so much crucial information about the stories, where to donate, any policy recommendations or reforms or initiative that may be happening in local governments across the country. Like, all that information got suppressed because people went out and did this thing. And while that is good to show your solidarity, you really have to take some particular actions to actually fix the problem. So the whole purpose of that wasn't to be silent. It was like, no, we're going to take the focus off ourselves for just the day. You know, we're going to spend this time for this specific day. And this was, like I said, for the music industry, because they call it the show must be paused. So like, we got to, like, you know, we can't take all this time to release our music and do all this stuff while this is going on. So it was never a thing about suppressing or not speaking up. It was just, this was the time to speak up and to lend your ear. And if you don't have the thing, it's to listen or possibly educate yourself in other ways. So I would just say, just be careful of things you see going around, because I know sometimes, especially for my content, like, what am I going to post on social media today? It's easy to hop onto something because, one, most people, they really don't want to come across like they're tone deaf or offensive of anything. So if they see something that's going around that sounds good, they'll be willing to hop on it. But just keep in mind the intention behind it, as well as that it's one thing if you're going to participate in this, but you also have to find other ways to really contribute and to the issue at hand.
Such an important point here. And I love that you used that example, because I do think it was confusing, right? There was people doing it, and then it's like, oh, okay, let's do that too. And the original intent got lost. That probably happens quite a bit on social media, I'm going to say, in all areas, right? So is there, I guess, with that particular issue, knowing that something like that may happen again, are there sources or people that you're like, it's like, okay, if you're thinking about that, maybe go here and see what they have to say about it. Do you have some recommendation like that? Or maybe that's something we should just all keep an eye out for.
I think it's one of those things that if you see something, just definitely take the time do your research and see what's going on about a particular thing. Also too, because unfortunately there's a lot of misinformation that's being intentionally put out there. So
scary to think about.
Yeah. So I think the best thing to do is just do your due diligence and do your research to make sure that this is coming from a reputable source, a reputable place, organization, that type of thing. Because, you know, even with the example that I just used, I was genuinely confused because I saw my friends posting the same thing. And I was like, wait a minute, when I saw this thing floating around social media only about four days ago, it was only supposed to be music business people. How did they get there? So like, I think somebody called it a big game of telephone gone wrong.
That's a good way of putting it. Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. So I would just really encourage people to just do your research when you see anything that comes across, because unfortunately things can get misconstrued or there's information that's put out there that's just not true.
So true. Okay. So sticking with the things people are doing wrong topic, before we tell you what to do, what you should do, what to do right. In our conversation beforehand, something that came up was this: people doing things to be performative, or I don't know exactly how to say, I think that's probably the right context of the word, but they're maybe going through the motions, but it's the intention isn't necessarily right, or it's coming across as performative, or it just is performative. What does that look like? I guess, what does it mean to be performative, and what should we watch out for there?
Performative mainly means that you are doing something to basically say you stand in solidarity or that you are for something, but there's no action put behind it. And it is hard to see a lot of support come out now that wasn't there before. Because it's like, when you, like, okay, you say that you're doing these things or that you believe in these things, but what have you done to really make good on that? How are you addressing it within your own company? Like, are you, if you have a staff, if you have employees, if you have different people of different black, different backgrounds, how are you treating them? Like, do they feel valued? Do they feel respected? Do they feel like they have a true seat at the table and that they can come however they are in a full identity, show up as themselves and still contribute? That's a one thing. Like, doing stuff as, like, so say for example, you may have seen this in the news where protesters may be kneeling. So you should do it. I haven't seen any business owners do this, but I'm just using this as an example of what can be seen as performative. But you know, you going out and you posted a picture of you kneeling, maybe with your fist up and saying you stand in solidarity, it's like, huh? It's like, okay, that's great, but how are you going to help the issue moving? How are you going to help us moving forward? Because that's not going to stop what's going on. So if you're going to make a statement, take a stand, you definitely have to back it up with some action.
Okay. I think that's the perfect segue now to like, okay, what are you seeing the companies do well with this? Have you seen companies or influencers make those statements and share how they're backing it up with action, or what does that look like?
So yes, I have seen, there have been some really good statements that have come out. The two ones that I've personally seen that I've really like are Ben and Jerry's and DoorDash. Now, Ben and Jerry's, as we like to say, Ben and Jerry's have been about their life since about 2015. When all of this started, like when the Black Lives Movement really started, you know, they did take a hard stand and pretty much say that, you know, we are in support of this. And, you know, recently, with as far as all the current unrest, the statement they released is that we need to dismantle white supremacy. They did not beat around the issue. They named it, and they've also been providing resources where people can educate themselves about things. Of course, they've donated money, that type of thing. Now, of course, you may not be where Ben and Jerry's are, which I can respect. Another company that I saw was DoorDash. So the CEO of DoorDash, he sent out an email pretty much saying, you know, he sympathized what's going on, he stands in that solidarity, and then he specifically named how they as a company was going to pretty much attack the issue. He talked about, of course, donating money. He talked about how they're going to provide listening forms within their company and examine their company culture, and then also be looking into maybe partnering with other organizations outside of the company. So that is a good way to kind of really show that you're about the action. Is one, have, you know, show your sympathy, to outline specifically how are you going to take those steps. And I will say this, it is okay if you don't know specifically today, or you're still trying to figure out what makes sense for my brand and my business, because you do want to make sure that it is in alignment. You know, you don't want to do anything where somebody will look at you like, this doesn't make sense. So you do want to, like, if it's okay to take some time to say, you know, we're figuring out what we can do, this type of thing, and we'll make an announcement at a later date, or we'll talk about this at a later date. But that's fine. But those are some of the good examples I've seen of people really making a statement and taking a stand.
And I did not see the DoorDash one, so thank you for bringing that to my attention. And yes, I love Ben and Jerry's and the language that they used and how they were, like, they know their beliefs, they know their values, they're really outspoken about it. They have a sense of humor about it too, and the way that they bring their beliefs into their brand and different ice cream flavors and this and that. I have so many questions for you. So one is, that leads me to two things. So one is, there's a fine line here, and I don't know if you'll be able to define it for us, but it's on my mind. So I figure I'll ask in case someone else is thinking the same thing. Where do you think that line is from DoorDash saying, okay, like, this is what we believe in, and this is the action that we're taking, to versus sharing maybe what you're doing in a way that could be perceived as performative, or if you're sharing what you're doing, is it not performative because you're doing stuff? But is there, I have seen people criticized for sharing donations, or that they're going to match donations or something like that, and that that is performative. So is there a nuance there, or what are your beliefs around this?
When it comes to, I'm going to speak to specifically when you said donations, sending donations is not performative. Let's be clear here. When it comes to this movement, everybody cannot be on the front lines. Everybody cannot be out there protesting, putting their bodies on the line to be brutalized or that type of stuff. And then everybody can't do that. And that's okay. Donating money is one of those ways that you can help, because it is going to take money to kind of help fuel this work. Because just though we're seeing all this protesting now, and I think we're on day 11. we're seeing all this protesting now. This is a long term movement, and stuff like this isn't linear. It's not something that changes and happens overnight, and it is going to be filled by money. So, donating, or if you're making announcements to say like, you know, I'm going to match, you know, donate, or we're going to donate this amount of money, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. That is something that is helpful and that is needed. So I don't think that is performative in any way if you are going to do that. Now, I will say is that it has to be something that is sustained. Now, does that mean that you are continuously donating money? That may or may not be the appropriate thing for your business. But what it can be is, how are you investing in the Black community? Are you, let's say, for example, going to mentor other Black female entrepreneurs, which is like the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs in this country? Are you going to do some other work? Are you going to have any educational forums for people within your company? Because that's one of the biggest things I did see with a lot of these statements that were coming out, was that I saw some former employees who was like, well, when I was there, I got treated XYZ. So how in the world are you going to say that you believe in this thing when I got treated like trash? So I think the biggest thing is making a true commitment and being consistent about it. And I also don't think as you continue to do that, it's necessarily a bad thing to share some of the stuff that you are doing. Because the way I look at it is, for a lot of people, when they're seeing these onslaught of statements, it's like, okay, well, for one, this is new. We've never seen businesses take this type of stand before. So it's very shocking for a lot of people to see. And it's like, well, can we truly trust you? Can we trust you? Think about it this way. If you were dating somebody and they come to tell you that you are this trustworthy, honest person who are not going to cheat on you, they're not going to lie and do all this stuff, are you just going to take their word for it just because they told you that on the first date? No. You are going to want to see their actions over a period of time so you can build that type of trust. The same thing applies here. Like, you want to make sure that you are making that commitment, and it's okay to show some of that type of thing so people can know that you're doing that, so that you can still build that trust with people.
I love that analogy. And yes, it is so true. And this is a long game, right? Like, this isn't, right. I heard someone, and I wish I could appropriately attribute this quote. If I find it, I will share it. But someone was like, this isn't a moment, it's a movement, right? And I'm like, yes. Like, this is not just like, okay, we got to do this for 2 weeks and like check the box and we're done. No, it truly is a movement, and something that, you know, us companies that like feel strongly about this want to be committed to in the long term. So how do we do that? How do we, in terms of our own content or PR, however you want to take this, what does this look like on an ongoing basis? knowing that, let me give the caveat of for those companies where this isn't the main topic of their business, right?
Right.
So, and I think a Ben and Jerry's is probably a good example, although, you know, it's funny, I guess it is the company is their names, but we don't think of them really as a personal brand, right? But that is a funny little side note there. But for most of us, you know, our business is something totally different. But for one reason or another, it's like, okay, we care about this. This is true to the values of our brand. We want to not just be vocal about it now, but to really let that be known in the long term. What do you think that could or should look like?
Excuse me. So let me say that it doesn't have to be a thing where moving forward past when a lot of this may die down in a new cycle. But it's kind of hard to say, because part of the reason why things have been sustained is because a lot of people don't have jobs right now. So they have a lot of time to continue to push this issue. But as the media cycle goes, stuff starts to fade to black, and we kind of do move on to the next thing. So it's not a thing where you have to devote all of your content or all of your messaging with this type of thing. But like I said, as you continue to actually do some work towards these issues, it's kind of mixed that in to show people how you do that, as well as, like I said, within your company, particularly if you working with people, is to really show how you are, you know, are diverse and you value inclusion, because diversity and inclusion is just not numbers. It's also diversity of thought and valuing what everybody brings to the table. So from a content perspective, that's something that you can bring in over time as you continue to do this. So let's say, for example, you decide to partner with an organization, like a local organization or some type of organization where you can kind of do some really good work and you get some results. It's okay to say, like, we were able to help these people and we got these particular results. We're committed to this and that type of thing. That's one way that you could do it. And another thing also too is, do not be afraid to listen and get feedback from people, because I know for a lot of folks, this is a big learning experience for them. They're really learning the issues and how it really impacts people. They're really starting to really understand it and sympathize with it. So continuously to listen and pay attention will definitely help you moving forward.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that is something I wanted to ask you about. What about for those well-meaning people? I'm just going to go ahead and assume that everyone who's well-meaning, right? For those well-meaning people who do have a misstep. I think right now, you know, certainly there's a lot of what do we say? What do we not say? And if you're going to start speaking up, there is probably a point where we're going to say something wrong, right? Or maybe it'll come out the wrong way or whatever it is. What should we do? And obviously, this is a very broad question, but just at a high level, because I'm sure as a publicist, you would handle this on a micro level very differently. Oh, but if we do make a misstep as an individual or as a company, what do you think at a high level is a good way to handle that?
First of all, take accountability. Take accountability for what you said. For a lot of people, their first instinct is to be defensive. Mm. Well, I'm not like this, or I don't do this, or I really do this, or I... No.
Or you misunderstood, like, kind of putting the blame back on them. Okay, so taking accountability.
Right.
What would the words look like for that? Like, I messed up.
So first off, just say that, you tell them, I understand. Like, you typically see this sometimes with some of these PR statements, but there is a way for you to say it in a way that is sincere, where, you know, I've taken some time to really listen to all the feedback and I understand what you're saying. I apologize for making these statements. I am going to take time to truly educate myself and be better. And I would, you know, I welcome any feedback on how I can do that moving forward. So this is one example I saw from a business, which was like, I don't know. I don't know if I should name the company here. Is that a bad thing to do?
If it's public knowledge, it's okay.
Okay.
So I think we can all learn right now, right? Whatever you're comfortable with.
And I'm going to do this because, you know, I believe some people in your community might actually use this particular service.
Yeah.
So it was this company called Gumroad, and, you know,
people, I don't use them, but I'm familiar with them. Yeah. I don't know the story.
People had brought some issues to what they had said, and the person got really defensive, started blocking people or something, and it was just like a big mess. And, like, you know, the person had to come back, and it turns out it was the leader of the company who was doing
this. Oh, dear.
It was the CEO. Now that I recall, I think one of the things that they were trying to do was, like, give, you know, Black entrepreneurs and creatives and people who use their platform, like free premium accounts or something. And somehow something that went wrong, and people challenged them on it. And instead of really listening or to what they were saying, they got, and I said they, because of course this was the company they represented as a brand, because this is the exchange going back and forth on Twitter. They got really defensive and started blocking people. It's like, why are you blocking? It's like the last thing you want to do is block people. And, you know, he had to come back and say, pretty much apologize and say that, you know, he pretty much let his emotions take over and all that type of thing. And, you know, pretty much had to apologize and say, we're still going to do this and we'll do better. So if you do find yourself in that situation, I know from a human perspective, your instinct is to kind of defend yourself and attack, because you're feeling this onslaught, because it could be hundreds or thousands of people calling. Because social media, let's be real, they can be really harsh. They will drag you for filth and not care, okay? So it can be really hard to see this onslaught of criticism where you can take it, where you can take it personally. So in that case, one of the things I would suggest is definitely take a step back for a minute if you're feeling that rage or that emotion where you're like, where you want to go in and let have it at people. Take a step back for a while and then come back and see if any of the things that these people are saying have any value. Which a lot of the times they do. There are some valid critiques in what these people may be saying. So, you know, that's definitely one thing you don't want to do is do that. It's like, you know, take a time out if seeing a criticism is a lot. You know, take accountability and then show how you are going to do better in the future. And then even before you get in anything, is definitely take time to educate yourself about these issues. There are several organizations, there are activists, scholars, thinkers that have been putting out information on how you can educate yourself on these issues, because now in this conversation, we're starting to see ideas that were once just radical ideas within activist circles come mainstream. And, you know, you want to be able to educate yourself. So if you are going to speak about it, in any type of way, that you're speaking from it from an educated view and not just your own perspective.
I hope people appreciate how smart and how much we can't take that for granted right now, is that we're so used to looking at everything through our own perspective. But what I've learned the most over the last week is how dangerous that is, and how mm-hmm. like really opening up my mind to be like, okay, where am I getting information from, and who am I getting it from, and what are other perspectives and other experiences that I can learn from? And maybe in other areas, we have this or take it for granted, but as we're producing our own content, it's like, well, we just go everything through that lens, right? But right now mm-hmm. it's really important to take that step back and not just look at things through our own perspective, because I think that's where the biggest missteps are coming from.
Yeah. Like I said, it's all about listening. And we kind of went over this earlier, but I do also want to bring this up to a point of where, if you do want to say, like, and I'm speaking more from like a personal, like somebody is a personal brand, if they have personal brand, or they could be an influencer or something, and they're struggling, and they're just saying, you know, they can speak about how they are going to take time to educate themselves about what's going on and listen to people, and then come back in their content and say, hey, I was actually able to read these particular articles or these books or see something, and I'm becoming into a whole different perspective. I appreciate this. This is how I want to put this new perspective in how I'm going to move forward with it. So that's another way you can approach it. It's like, you know, just say how you are going to take the time to listen, and how are you going to, you know, educate yourself and that type of stuff, because that's very, very, very important, because the only way we're actually going to be able to really understand these issues if everybody, because it's not just people in the Black community or white community or whatever. Everybody has to educate themselves, because like I said, there's so many different ideas being thrown around that people may not have never heard before, and they're probably like, that sounds crazy. So it's definitely crucial for everybody to take some time, do some research, educate yourself, and then form your perspective from there. And then when it comes to, as you was kind of saying, like, you know, like, wow, I'm opening up my view because I tend to like look at everything perspective. That really is a thing from us as human beings, where we have to be a little bit more empathetic and reach down and say, you know what? Everybody doesn't live like I live. Everybody doesn't have the same privileges that I have. And their experiences are valid. They're valid.
100%, 100%. And yeah, I love that you say empathy. And I think as marketers, right, it's important for us to always have empathy, but this may take, I don't know, sometimes it's like, oh, I can relate to that. And there may be situations that people are sharing that you can't relate to. That's come up. I'm like, oh my goodness. I have never been at something like that. All the more reason for me to lean in and listen more and learn more. Right. I think that's where I'm really grateful that we're having these conversations and that this is brought up to, you know, for maybe it's uncomfortable and all of that, but it's like, these, how are these things not top of conversation before? Right. So I realize it's, you know, I wish that they weren't all happening on social media and that we weren't all, you know, but it's like, I'm kind of glad they are too, because that's what's helping getting, spreading the message, you know. But I also realize the power of having, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have this conversation with you and some other people where it's recorded or not recorded, right? Where I do feel like we're able to go a little bit deeper than you can get just across in a social media post, perhaps.
And I will speak to that. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. Like, none of this stuff is pretty. Like, people are being killed.
That's true.
Whether it's from police violence or poverty or other issues that affect them day to day because of the way our systems are set up, this is supposed to be uncomfortable. And I personally believe that in this country, we are at a tipping point where we have to figure out who we want to be after this. And that work is always messy. It's not easy work. But it's something that we have to be willing to do if we want to be better and if we want to move forward. It's something that we have to do.
Absolutely. And we want our world to be better, right? So right. No, thank you for saying that, because yes, I think that ties this all up in terms of like, this is why we're doing this, right? Like this is why we're here. Oh goodness. I know we're running out of time. I'm like, I have so many things I wanted to ask you about. What was like one more? Is there something else that I didn't ask you that you're like, you know what? I really wanted to say this or share this that we didn't get to.
I mean, as far as this topic, I honestly hope and pray that particularly people who are outside of the Black community do their due diligence in learning and listening, and know that it's on you and it's incumbent on you to educate yourself and educate people, other people in your community. Because unfortunately, it took this long for people to listen. And a lot of people are not going to listen unless it comes from somebody who has, that comes from a similar background. There, you know, if you know, that's just kind of just how the systems that we operate and work. Like, the marginalized groups you're like, okay, whatever. They're always dismissed. But if it comes from somebody that is within their group, they're more likely to listen and take a chance on really understanding what they're saying versus if somebody outside their community who is impacted by these issues are constantly saying to them, because for them it's just like, yeah, whatever. You know, for a lot of times it can be that for some people, it's like, yeah, whatever. Or it's just a thing where it's just not their reality. So it's kind of harder for them to grasp. Like, I mean, even me, I have to do this when it comes to other issues. I have to do this when it comes to other issues, like when it may come to, say, like, queer and trans issues, because I don't identify those communities, but there's people within my community who are impacted by that. And unfortunately, a lot of people, they're often not heard. And that is a big education gap for a lot of folks who just don't know. And the same sort of, and the same thing applies to this situation. So I definitely would encourage people to take time to listen, listen, share, and educate each other, and find out where you fit in. That's my biggest thing, is find out where you fit in this whole movement, because everybody has a lane, everybody has a part to play. And even you as a business owner, you know, you can do your part. It may just be only donating money. It may be giving back your time or educational resources. But whatever it is, please do something.
Please do something. Yes. Oh, okay. One more thing, because I know this is your complete zone of genius and a way that people can work with you as well. Were there opportunities for publicity right now? Where do you see opportunities where people should be sharing their story, sharing what they're doing, sharing anything that would relate to this news cycle?
That's an interesting question, because at times
it's a little loaded.
Because sometimes it's sort of kind of like with the pandemic, right? When all of this first kind of popped off, if you were pitching a journalist about your skincare brand, and this is more so like if he was probably pitching a more, they cover more general news type thing, they would be looking at you like, are you serious? So,
right, like this is not timely right now. Yes.
Right. So, you know, that's part of pitching, is knowing when to pitch. I think right now, if you're focusing on your own, like your own channels, would be the best things to do, unless there's a true opportunity for you to tie your story in. Because the truth is, everybody's donating money. You know what I'm saying? Like that's
not newsworthy, right?
Right. That's not newsworthy. So that's one of those things you have to take into consideration. And like this question also varies depending on what type of businesses you have. Because let's say if you have like a skincare brand, and you're pitching beauty, you know, beauty influencers or beauty journalists and that type of stuff, most of them are not writing about these issues. So there still may be opportunities for you to pitch the story. Now, you may have an advantage if you are maybe probably like a Black-owned skincare brand, because this is another thing too. A lot of people are looking to support Black-owned businesses at this time. So that may be a thing. So it the answer is, it kind of, I know that probably doesn't really clear it up, but it does. It kind of depends.
I appreciate your honesty. No, yeah, that's important.
It kind of depends on what your brand is. And I can give you another example from one of my clients who is a fitness trainer. You know, one of the things that, particularly this week on her social, because I manage more so her content, is like just encouraging people to take care of themselves. Like, as a fitness professional, yeah, you may help people lose weight or gain muscle or some other type of fitness goal, but in the essence of what you're doing is you're helping them to maintain a healthy lifestyle and you're encouraging wellness. So right now, with all the chaos and unrest and stuff like that, it can be very depressing. it can really hurt you. It can, you know, it can be a lot to cope with. It's particularly, even though all the stuff is going on, people have their daily responsibilities that they still have to deal with. So you, as a fitness professional, you telling folks how you can take care of yourselves, you remind them to do that, how exercise can help them to refocus so they can dial in and do the work as well as take care of their responsibilities. That's way, one way you can kind of talk about how to do that. Is that's one way you could possibly tie it in and do that. So the answer really is depends. And if I'm advising you as your publicist or strategist, it's something that I'm going to do specifically for you, because it may change from person to person. It just depends on what you're doing.
And that's, I think, the beauty of working with a publicist like yourself on this, because there is so much gray area and nuance and, okay, like, does this make sense? Does this not? Or knowing their story and their background and being able to pull things out, where it may be hard for those of us to see in order to pitch ourselves, right? We may not know those ins and outs. So on that note, how can we stay in touch with you? And yeah, how can we stay in touch with you? And if someone did want to hire you, where could they go to find out more?
Yes. So you can follow me on Instagram at Power Publicity. You can also follow me on you can follow me or as at I am Lauren Gill. That is my personal account. I share stuff related on both my business and personal accounts. Also, one of the things that I am offering is PR coaching. So if this is something that you really need help with, you want to get publicity at this time, you want to be able to do that, you can go to, and I'm going to give the information so that y'all can look at it in the description box so y'all can have it, because I know it's like something that you need.
We'll put it all in the show notes for you.
We'll put it on the web link. Y'all going to have this in the show notes. It's the website, the web handle is, it's bit.ly, so it's a bit.ly link, so that's bit.ly/PPPressBox. And PressBox is my PR coaching program where I pretty much coach you how to do a PR campaign from start to finish. We talk about nailing down your personal story. We talk about finding the right media outlets and how to pitch yourself, how to follow up so you can get the publicity that you deserve. and then you also can just personally, you can contact me via email and I will definitely get back to you. I love talking to people, and if I can help you, I'm going to help you. You can email me at lgill, that is LGILL at powerpublicityllc.com. And like I said, I will make sure you have all of this information so you can contact me.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so, so much. I have a feeling that this is going to be a very popular episode, and I so appreciate you bringing your expertise, but also just being candid with us on areas that we really needed to be candid about, right?
I appreciate you so much for inviting me here. Like, this is something that I really wanted to do, because my whole thing was to help business owners. I'm a small business owner, so I know how that can be a challenge. And this is what I do. This is what I love to do. And I am so grateful that I was able to do this with you and everybody that is listening today.
Yes. All right. Thank you so, so much, Lauren. Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.